Today's gospel reading follows directly upon last week's reading. And you might recall from last week that they're walking down the road and the disciples are arguing among themselves about who is the greatest. And so Jesus tries to teach them about greatness and humility and taking the last place. And so he calls a little child over and embraces it and says, anyone who accepts this little child accepts me, and anyone who accepts me accepts the Father. So that was last week's gospel. In this week's gospel, that child is still in the embrace of Jesus. And so he says, if anyone causes scandal to one of these little ones. But as we said last week, the little ones is not just children. It's the poor. It's the outcast. It's the church. Because the church was very poor in the time that Mark was writing his gospel. Because they were under persecution and they couldn't get jobs, and so they were desperately poor. So the gospels are kind of filled with this notion of the church as being the little ones, the poor ones. So the issue last week and this week is really about greatness. And this desire for greatness and this clamoring for position and stature. And so we have a similar reading in the first reading today about Moses. And Moses, of course, is a type for Christ. He's a precursor, sort of an image in advance of what Christ will be, only in an even more perfect form. And so the stories are similar. Moses talks to God personally, face to face. All the other prophets, they would get their visions in dreams and things like that, and in deep prayer, but there was never a voice heard or anything like that. It came from their prayer. But Moses was the greatest prophet of all, and God spoke to him face to face. And so Moses, after years of this kind of experience, he's filled with a great deal of self-confidence, and he knows God personally and deeply. But the time comes when Moses complains to God, this people is just too much of a burden for me. I can't handle it all myself. And so God says, well, call 70 elders from the various groups of people, and I'll bestow my spirit on them too. And so the 70 elders are called out, and the Spirit of God descends on them just like it did on Moses. And Moses isn't competitive about that. You know, he's happy that the Spirit is descending upon them. He's willing to share his ministry. But Joshua, who is much younger and inexperienced, he comes running up to Moses and he says, these two guys who didn't come out here with us, they're still in the camp and they're prophesying too. And Moses says, would that all God's people would be prophets. Would that the Spirit would descend upon them all. And so Jesus says a very similar thing. The disciples are jealous because somebody is casting out demons in Jesus' name, and he's not one of us. And Jesus says something very similar to Moses. If he's not against us, then he must be for us. No one can cast out demons in my name and at the same time speak ill of me. So it's about a kind of a competitiveness and a guardedness about greatness and about significance and about stature. And the disciples, you know, we can kind of make fun of them for not getting the point that Jesus is trying to tell them, but we recognize ourselves in that too. There's something in human nature that wants to be special, significant, over and against the others. And that competitive spirit that is in every culture, in every generation, comes from that. That deep place within inside us where there's a kind of a hole that's vacant, that needs to be filled. And so we have a tendency to fill up that hole with stature, degrees, possessions, position, honor, all these earthly things. We keep trying to fill that hole, and it's an endless process. It never fills the hole. But in our prayer, if we are willing to sit with that hole and not try to fill it, but to let God fill it, then we can have the honor, we can have the stature, we can have the greatness that God has in store for us. In some ways, we're talking about the false self here. Not the self, not the me that God created and is creating in me, but the one that I make up in my own head. The one that I imagine would be what greatness looks like. And it's always less than what God envisions. There's no way that I can imagine a greatness, a significance that's better than the one God has in store for me. So if I'm willing to sit with that hole and allow God to look at me with God's vision, God doesn't see the way we see. And if I'm willing to be quiet long enough, God will show me his vision of me. And God never looks at people with judgment or envy or competition. God always looks at us with mercy and compassion and love. And when I can see myself as God sees me, that's where my worth is. And I don't have to pile up possessions. I don't have to pile up honors, stature. It comes from God. Now, there's a wonderful thing that we do here every Sunday at the altar. In that Eucharistic prayer that we're going to pray in a few minutes, we're asking the Father to look upon our oblation. And our oblation is both Christ, but ourselves as well. You know, we're laying ourselves on the altar along with Christ. So when we're talking about this oblation, we're talking about Christ and us. And so we're asking God to look upon this oblation and recognize his Son. Isn't that wonderful? That God could look on you and me and recognize the face of his Son. And yet that's exactly what happens. And we're not cognizant of that enough. We're so busy building up an imaginary self, building up and striving for a worth that we can never attain, when God is already looking at us and recognizing Jesus. The great good news that Jesus came to bring is that we are God's children. We're not aliens. We're not outcasts. We're children of God. And God sees in us a worth that even we don't see ourselves. And we have to be quiet and prayerful and long enough to allow that to overtake us and heal us, to fill that hole, that emptiness. That's what makes us children of God. Not something we do, not something we earn, not a worth that we attain. It's a worth that God had for us from the beginning of the world. There was never a time in all eternity that God did not envision you and me and look on us with the love with which he has for his Son.